laughed at him. We was used to be, you could clean brush and fix holes along the road, pay your taxes, you know. If you own property somewhere, you have to pay taxes on it. Well, you put in so much time on the road working, that paid your taxes. Well, me and my oldest brother and my dad would work on the road, I think 2 days, paid his taxes. Or 3 days, maybe. So, we was down there working the road one day, and Uncle Maston come along. And he trade horses some, riding old horses. And he's carrying the mail up and down the river there on the horse. Old man Wes Holbrook was carrying the mail at that time. And Uncle Maston's down there talking to us, and they're sitting there, and Wes come up with the mail, going up the river there. Well, Uncle Maston, he bannered Wes up for a horse trade. No, Wes bannered Uncle Maston up for a horse trade. He got off looking at the horse and went around the horse two or three times and put his hand on his shoulder, down low on his shoulder there. He stepped back and he said, he's worth a penny. And the Uncle Maston said, what do you mean? And he said, he's worth a penny. Well, he said, there's a penny in there, in that shoulder. He'd rubbed his shoulder, a big sore on it, and it wouldn't heal up. And he just put a penny in there and drawed it up there together, and it just healed up there. And on the inside, right on his shoulder, there, where that collar fit. And you could feel it easy with your hand if you knowed what you was looking for, you know. And Wes thought he knowed him, and when he found that penny, he knowed it was him because he put it in there, you know. I think he'd be, like I said, 12 years before. Uncle Maston said his horse wasn't over 9, 10 years old, you know, horse traders. Wes, he walked around and rubbed that shoulder and found that penny, and he said, oh, Maston, he's worth a quarter, or worth a penny. And, what do you mean he's worth a penny? He said, well, that same penny's in there that I put in there. Uncle Maston didn't know it was the penny in his shoulder there. He said he'd skinned the shoulder off some way or another when his daughter was working him, you know, and it wouldn't heal up. And he put that penny in there and sewed it up, and that healed it right up. Uncle Maston never said anything more about trading horses. After he felt down and felt that penny, he said, well, he's worth a penny. Wes is, he was funny turned old fella anyhow. All them old timers, they.
And what, how would that help that horse, that putting that penny in
well,
there?
Well, hit some way or another, hit purified that in there, let hide heal back.
Yeah.
Them old timers have some funny ways of doing things. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. The boys, you know, they're getting faster than more with doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just cut a piece out of somebody and put it on somebody else and graft it right in there. That poor old Fred Brewster out here. You've seen him, ain't you?
Yeah, but not lately.
My gosh, that's pitiful. They maybe I told you about that. I don't know.
I don't remember.
They done that in Baltimore. He had cancer in the brain. And it got in his brain up there, and they took him up there, and they done that operation free. Experiment. They took a saw. Sawed his skull right around him like that, come around and took his top of his head off and laid him on the table. Took them brains out, laid them on the board, and took all that cancer out of there and washed it all out and put him right back in and put his head back on. While he was doing that, took one of his eyes out, and they sealed that hole up, and you can't hardly tell he had an eye. And he took every bit of the roof of his mouth out, put a piece of plastic in there. He takes that plastic out, has to take it out every once in a while and wash it. When he takes that out, he can't say a word. You put that plastic back, he can talk. Talk about as good as ever. Now that woman was telling me just a couple of days after that, they took him to Baltimore. And he was up there, or she was up there, and come back home. And she was telling me about that. And you know, that is the hardest thing in the world for me to get in my head that could be done. But when I looked at him, just as quick as I looked at him, I seen she's telling me every word of truth. And if you ever get around him, oh, he's He likes to talk. He's awful funny to talk. You ever seen? You get around him, and he just kind of notice he's bald-headed now. You notice that scar right around his head there, and you'll see that. Just they took us all and sawed it, that scalp right off. Hmm. Never cost him a dime. Hmm. And then, by gosh, he come home, and a few years after that, he got to rolling and tumbling around in the bed, rolled one hip joint out of place. And they took put the joint back in and took his leg off down here. Hmm. Oh, I swear, I don't see how man they ever made it. You know Jim, don't you?
Yeah.
Jim Brewster?
Yeah.
Well, that's Jim's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, you call him on the phone and get talking to him and you can't really get away from him. I go over there sometimes to see. Yeah, I didn't think they could do a man without a win. And he'd make it with his Bob. That's been a good while ago. Sciences are getting pretty fast.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think of something else here.
Up a little more, I think, John. Did you ever play the one they call Salt River?
Salt River. I used to know that, but I've forgotten its title how it started. Tune can't hear enough to get it back in. pretty good, but I ain't. Hawkins.
What was her name?
Hawkins. Dicey Hawkins. She's right over here on Cranberry.
Huh. And she played Sugar Babe.
Yes, she played that Sugar Babe. She used to stay with up there with my granddad and grandma. Back there on the hill. When they was got old, she went up there and stayed there. Looked after.
Huh.
And she'd pick that. And I was just a little old kid. I'd go out there and she'd play that and sing. And she was a good banjo picker. But that Sugar Babe, that was the one she liked so well.
Huh.
Treat me in the wrong, miss me when I'm gone. No more Sugar Baby now.
Ain't got
that's a good one if you can get it to.
I think you have to bring the fifth string back up, I think, to play Pretty Polly.
Yeah, I believe it is. Well, my dad played 4 or 5 in that tune, but I forgot what it was.
Is that right?
See if I can catch all three of them strings to make that sound just right, but that one finger won't bend down.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a good tune on there, that fella left behind. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good tune on a banjo.
Right.
And that's a good one on a fiddle, too. There's a lot of music and instruments if it's played.
Right.
And there used to be a little old fella around here, James Hammond.
Yeah.
He's Eden Hammond's boy.
Yeah.
He was really good on the banjo and the fiddle too.
Uh-huh.
Old man Eden, he used to steal on to me.
He did.
And he'd want to go out to dances, you know. And he'd want to play. He thought they liked him playing the dance. And when he'd get started, if you didn't give him a drink every once in a while, he just got so druggy, he wouldn't play anything. He wouldn't quit, he got too much. I had 2 or 3 get a little bit peeved at me for letting him play that way.
Yeah.
He'd come and he'd stay maybe 2 or 3 days with us. And I liked old Ed, and he was a good old fella. But now he was a fella, and he had to have something to drink before he'd even try to play. And right then, when he's ruining himself. But he didn't know it. Yeah. There's a lot of music in one of them things, if you can, get it out.
Yeah.
That's a good banjo.
Where did, when they had them dances with Edden playing and you playing, where were they? Where did you have the dances?
How's that?
Where did you have the dances that when?
Oh, this first one place. No, they used to have them up around Three Forks. And
people's houses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wide up at Three Forks. Me and Howard Watt played left-handed. Of course, I played a guitar and a banjo either one. In them days, my fingers wasn't stiff. And he played the fiddle. He could play a guitar a little, but he couldn't pick a banjo. But now he's a fiddling fool. And I'm telling you the truth, they just aggravated us to death. Working every day and then playing them a night. Now, I don't know if it don't it's with you after a while. Well, they'd get mad if we didn't go and play. And they paid us pretty good for playing the dances, but they all of them made homebrew and stuff like that. They had something to drink wherever you went. But now, they all had a good time. They want you to have a good time.
Your brother that played, was he older than you?
No, he's younger than me.
Younger than
me. Yeah.
Was he a good banjo player?
He done pretty good.
Yeah.
You seen that picture there, didn't you?
Yeah.
That me, that ground hole. Now that, that was
tough. Where are you, on can of pop or something?
No,
there's some pop in there. Cold to drink, my stomach to growling.
Now he's 3 or 4 years younger than I was. Yeah. Now I was around, I'd say 14 there.
Have a can of Coke.
Okay, thanks.
Don't, if you get me in just about a half of it, you got a Sprite in there, sis?
No, I ain't got no Sprite.
What was the dog's name, John?
Huh?
What was the dog's name?
Ring. He had a white ring around his neck.
You call him Ring?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you call him. That's the first time that Thurman ever seen a pistol.
Oh, yeah? Thurman? Is that
his name? Yeah, that was his name. That little black spot there, that's a hog. We tied him up there with his...
Oh, uh-huh.
We tied it up there and was trying to get the groundhog out from under the rock. The dog couldn't get his head into it. Of course, no cars. You maybe be a week before there'd be a car come along up there at them days. And this year, we was down there trying to get that groundhog out. We'd come down here to the river, to the mouth of the river, there where that bridge is. There wasn't no bridge there then.
Uh-huh.
With hogs come down and getting some man's car. And I forget who did live there. Old Ed Clayton, I believe. And we'd come down to get the hog. And brought the dog to catch the hog with. You catch him right with the tail. My gosh, he'd hold a hog with the tail. He just wore it and he's holding. My gosh, he'd tear the tail off if he didn't. Yeah. And we was down there trying to get that groundhog out, and these fellas was camping somewhere back in there, been hitchhiking back to camp, and I didn't never seen him before nor since. There's two of them. And they come down there, and they had knapsacks on their back, and we was there trying to get that groundhog out. They said, took their knapsacks off and set them down and said, well, what are you doing, boys? I said, trying to catch the groundhog here. They'll help you get him out. Come down there and you could see it, looking back in there, but you couldn't.
Yeah.
It couldn't get a stick on it, twist him enough, and the dog couldn't get his head in there to get it. And he went back, took the pistol out of the knapsack. And went down there and he shot it. Must have been a little old 22 pistol or something. He just shot the groundhog in the head, and then he reached in there and got him by the foot and pulled it out so the dog get a hold of it. And boy, I'm telling you, that scared Thurman put you there. He didn't know what the devil that was.
That pistol?
And,
he didn't know what the pistol was.
He'd never seen one, I don't reckon. I'd never seen one or two. And they asked me of names and everything. And, well, I guess about 2 or 3 weeks after that, that picture come in the mail. Of course, not that one, but was the same one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he sent it to my dad.
John,
I've
heard you some cold in that cup.
Huh?
There's some pop in that cup.
I'll tell you, Jerry, I ain't no count anymore. Days I can go another days I can. Mm. I put in the hardest night, sure, Jesus God. But lucky to make it at all. You take 80 years, long time.
You were born in 09?
Huh?
You were born in 09? You're born?
Yeah, 1909. The 19th of March.
What was the best dog you ever had, John?
Well, we had a lot of good dogs, but the best dog we ever had, that was, I got him before I was married, first time. My dad raised him, and he kept the only dog I ever knew of him, let him stay in the house. I was working way all the time. And he raised that dog in the house. And that dog just about do anything but talk. That's a bit, now, if you talk about a dog, anything you want to hunt for, he's good for. I lived up here in a little shanty right below the, where the dollar store used to be. And that dog, I had the dog when I was married the first time. Dad had keeping it for me. Right down, a little black dog, about that high. I bought him off the boys in Buckhannon. I give him $2.55 in change. It's all the money I had in change. They said, go sell him. I said, what do you want for him? What do you give me? I said, it'll give you all the change you got. And I had $2.55. He's just a little old pup. I brought him home and raised him. About, just getting dusky dark. I had him tied up, and I had a big blue tick pup out there, too, behind us. I had a little shanty, two-room shanty there. I heard some fellas coming down the road talking, and you could tell they were scared. There wasn't many cars that day. They was coming down the road there, and that one, he was really talk big anyhow. I was over here at Bolaire, Hayden Starcher was his name. And they was coming, they'd cut that road out up Craig Run there. Them days, they'd go ahead and cut the roads out, clean it up, and then they'd dig it out. They didn't have no bulldozer. They'd dig it out with steam shovels, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the way they made that road through there. And they had a camp over on Cranberry, a CC camp. And them boys was in the CC camp. And they was coming down that holler, about a mile and a half, 2 miles up that holler. And just starting to get dusky dark. And they hear the hog squealing up on the hill. They went up, they thought it just got hung up. And they got up there and tell the darn bear had that hog was killing, the hog was eating out of him right above a big log, and they was right up putting your toot before they thought it was hung up here near that bear and was eating on. And man, you talk about scaring a couple of fellas. Well, I'd always go up to that little old store and get me some stuff for my dinner the next day. I was working. And I went up to the store there, just maybe a little further from here down Nancy's. And the fellow running the store, Juber Gibbons, he built the store there. He said, why don't you take the dog, go up there and kill that bear up there? I didn't know nothing about it, you know. I said, what bear are you talking about? He told me what had happened. Well, I just went back down to the house, and my gun, I didn't have it, pump shotgun, but it's up with Dad, up on the mountain. Dad's living there. And the old man Chips, living that old plank house out there, just this side of where the store building is, he had an old 97 model Winchester shotgun. An old one, and the slide was tied on with string to keep it busted, cracked, you know. Uh-huh. And he tied it on that string to keep from losing it. So I went, the only gun I knowed of, see if I could borrow that. And he wouldn't let his boys take it, huh? But me and him was the best of friends. I went up and I told him, I said, how about borrowing your shotgun? The boys, the hog, the bear got a hog killed up the holler here. I thought I'd go up and kill him. It was getting dark then. Well, he went in and he got that old shotgun and number six squirrel shot. It's all the shells he could find. He brought it out and gave it to me, and you know how boys is, they take right up, all stay together to get to see something wolf, you know. Well, I had them dogs and I was leading them, and one of them, they went to help me lead the dogs, and I took that old shotgun. We took up that old grade, got back there a ways, and I turned the dogs loose. And they took right on up the hollow. They'd been after a bear, and I know them. Right on up the hollow they went. Just now I heard that black dog, the good dog, I tell you. I heard him jump on it right back on the hill there. Right where that fella went up there, way up, oh, it's miles, better than miles up the holler there. Boys, I never heard such a fight, and that pup, that blue tick hound come past me, running and hollering, and he passed, and when that dog started fighting that bear, every one of them boys broke the run but one, and he went up a tree. And they all run back to the store, back down all there to the store. Well, it's dark and didn't have no light. I put just six shells all that old gun hole, and I crammed them in that gun, and I started up there where that dog was fighting that bear. And I got up there. I couldn't hit it's dark enough, Lord, I could see it was just a black bull standing there. And I know that must be it. And the dog was black, too. But I could kind of notice the glimpse of him darting around it and grabbing him. And my gosh, I started shooting. And the second time I shot, I knocked that bear down. And it started rolling down towards me. And I just emptied the gun. I don't know where he hit it or not, but I said, it's the darkest, afraid to try to run. I just laid the gun down in the sapling there. I just grabbed that sapling, got up and got a hold of a limb and swung up. That bear rolled right square under me. I just went down the hill hitting that dog. And down across that grade, and down just below the grade in a little flat, by gosh, he stopped it right there. And he went to bay in it. Well, I got down out of there, and that bear knocked the gun down and slid under leaves, and I found it. I come back off the road and I hollered, and that one went up a tree. He's still up in there. I said, get down out of there and go get me some more shells, right quick. I said, I got that thing crippled. And I said, I want to finish killing. And he come down, and he went down there, and he couldn't find no shells. And finally went down to that old house there where I got the gun. And that old man, he went hunting and he found five more, number six shot. And he come back up and brought him up to me. It's dark by that time. We didn't have a light one. Well, I crammed him in that old gun and I think so just get close enough to blow it in two, because that them fine shot, if I can get that close, I can kill it with them fine shot. When I got up there, I'd say maybe it's close to the door. First time I shot, wad and all went right through it. Well, I just kept shooting and then all the shells was gone. Noise stopped. The dog, I called him, he got back. I hollered at that old boy, he'd climb that tree again. I told him, I said, go get some lights, I think I got him. He went down there to that store and they all ganged up there, and there's about 11 of them. Come back to the store after I run the store all, and up through there they come. Lights come up there. And we started out of there with that bear. We got it, brought it down there and laid it on a scale. He had a pair of them big old flat scales and it just weighed 376 pounds on them scales. And that dog, from that on, he was the best. You could take him out when you hit a thicket, if he hit that thicket when he was in there, you'd never hear him whimper at a thing in the world but a bear. That's what he's looking for. A good coon dog, a squirrel dog, anything he wanted to hunt for. And he'd just about do anything you tell him to do. Just before I went to service, I said to Zeff, let's go kill another bear. I don't know how many we killed with, me and him together. And he had a collie pup, about a little over a year old. He was trying to train him. He was getting pretty good. We went up there and went up Sawyer's Run, and that old dog found one back on top of the mountain. And I know the way it was going, it wouldn't have had a tree. It was a figure on crossing the road that went up that holler. And we ran up that road, and Zeph stood on one side of the holler, and I stood on the other, and it come, that dog fought, come right down right above us, and it reared up, looked over a rock to see if the road was clear, truck road up there. And when it reared up there, Zeph shot it right in the head. And it fell in behind that rock. And that dog just catch it right there. Right in under there was his holt, right under that foreleg. And by gosh, he just stayed right there. And he catched that, he run in on that bear. Well, I run up on I had a pair of cork shoes on. And I run a pole up on that rock. And Zeph come on the other side of the rock, come around. And we're just shooting, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Well, hit to stand right up over that dog. Mm-hmm. And I just held my gun down about, close to the couch there, and just went to pulling, shooting it right through behind the shoulders. Fast as that old gun worked, it's a 20-gauge Winchester pump gun. Zeph's got the gun yet. And we got that bear killed. But it mashed that dog. Some way it mashed him through there and mashed one side of his head. Hmm. And we got old Ray Hinkle.